Welcome, race fans. Radio. Welcome, race fans. How are you guys doing tonight? Glad to have you all tune in to another episode of Racing with the Sweat. In the studio with me is my host, Chris Gillicott-Creighton. Joining us tonight will be Mike, as soon as he can get in. Before we jump into this, and the reason I'm not into this, I'm going to be hanging out tonight, I'm not going to lie. My Cleveland Cavaliers have come back from a 25-point deficit, single digits. So my focus is not going to be on what I need to be on tonight. So as soon as Mike comes in, he'll be taking over. But I want to make sure that I thank Fit for Life, H. Stockdale of It Works, I-95 Sports Network, and Mile High Radio for being some great marketing partners and networks. Without them, we wouldn't be able to grow and do what we do without them. Got to make sure you guys check us out on Twitter, at 110 Nation. Check us out on Facebook, 110 Nation Sports. And also check out our site, www.the110nationsports.com, for all the latest going on here at the 110 Nation. How are you doing tonight, Chris?
All right there, Mr. CJ Sports. How the hell are you?
I'm great. Especially with this comeback
going on. All
right,
glad to have all you race fans listening in for another episode of Racing with Big Sweat. We're going to talk about racing from all sides of the spectrum here tonight. Glad to have y'all. Make sure you kick back. Turn the radio up on loud. Fix that cup of coffee or get that brewski out the refrigerator because we're going to talk about some racing. Definitely our eyes are on Cleveland right now. I've got my tube on the channel where Cleveland has come back from 25 down. I tell you, I think Indiana's only scored 10 points in the third quarter. Definitely some great basketball going on. I know a lot of you race fans don't want to hear nothing about the basketball side, but let me tell you something. When you've got a sports figure like LeBron James, it can lead us into our first discussion, the magnitude of some of these athletes and the amount of exposure that they get. And definitely when you have a superstar, superstars respect superstars. I'm not going to get off into the Colin Cowherd theory, but superstars respect superstars, and that's why you see NASCAR drivers going to football games. And as a matter of fact, just this year we had over the December holidays, we had Ricky Stenhouse and Danica Patrick here in the good old state of Mississippi. Of course, Ricky Stenhouse Jr. is from North Mississippi, but he brought Danica to the Ole Miss game, and they made an appearance there. So, you know, superstars always get their respect, and definitely awesome to see the Cleveland Cavaliers, who are up right now 2-0 in the series, definitely claw their way back in contention against the Pacers. History's made throughout sports. It's been the driving force for the reason why I love it. I've been a fan of baseball, basketball, football, racing my whole life. They say that a lot of us that are behind the mic here are just failed athletes, and you know, I believe it wholeheartedly. I got kicked out of booted out of a NASCAR racing room with the NASCAR Heat Evolution today, and I could swear that I was racing against Dale Jr. and some of those other guys. Man, I don't know if I was or not, but when I wrecked Dale Jr., who I believe was Dale Jr., I got booted out of the room. Guys, I tell you what, it is so awesome, the technology and all that we have these days. And the online gaming is knocking on the doors of true entertainment. And I see that ESPN and other places have picked up on esports. And guys, if you hadn't checked out drone racing, then it's kind of like it's definitely the IndyCar side of racing. It's absolutely magnificent to see drones and the obstacle courses that they have to go through. You know, racing is a broad band of things. You can have a race to the convenience store. You can have a race on a lawnmower. Either way, it's the same objective. It's who can get there first, it's the competition.
It made me think of the days back when we used to have a little slight slope for our driveway. We would take the Matchbox cars and race them down there. Or we would take the way that the road with the water, someone was like washing their car, the way the water would run down, we'd take like pieces of grass and race it to the sewer drain. So you can turn anything into a race.
Oh, definitely, Mr. CJ Sports. And then as we got older, we made a track with our bicycles that turned into a four-wheeler track, and it was always in a circle. You know, no matter what, you was always trying to dig you out a good circle there to race. But I tell you, you know, competition, my wife told me earlier, she said, you know, you're just a racer at heart, and I believe that wholeheartedly. I've never really had the opportunity to drive a car. I do own a race car, believe it or not. I have a 1993 Honda Prelude Hot Shot. We've not been able to race it yet because I'm still healing from my back injury. So we're looking forward to debuting as a racer. But as a car owner, I have to tell you, it's a lot of responsibility to make sure that the car stays in maintenance. And as I found out very quickly, you just can't put somebody in your car and not know anything about it, because that's going to lead into other problems. So, you know, anytime that you go and buy a race car or you get into racing, make sure that you check your car out thoroughly and have people who really know what they're doing check it out as well, because the last thing you want to do is put yourself in any danger when you get behind the wheel. But we won't get off into that. Do have some quick news to go through. This weekend, Why Not Motorsports Park will be in action here in Meridian, Mississippi. It's a $10 grandstand admission for the I-45 Crate Lake Model Challenge. That'll be $1,000 to win the Crate Lake Model Series. They'll also be racing the Hot Shots, Sportsman Lake Models, the Street Stocks, Modifieds, and I do believe, the Hot Shots as well. So that's the classes there. Make sure that if you're anywhere in the Mississippi area, you come on down to Why Not Motorsports Park. Also, when we are talking about Why Not Motorsports Park, if you haven't found out, the NBC Sports does a My Home Tracks NASCAR on their NASCAR show. And they're doing 50 episodes highlighting home tracks all across the 50 states. And Why Not Motorsports Park will be aired May 2nd on My Home Track. So that's my home track, guys. And proud to see NBC Sports give them a shout out. And, you know, it's just a small little clip and a small segment, just a couple of minutes, where they tell you about some famous people from that state. And then they give you some pictures and all and tell you about the infamous racetrack that they're highlighting. So great thing that NBC Sports is doing, highlighting local tracks around the nation. We want to make sure we shout out to those guys for their dedication to giving back to the communities where these drivers started from. Once again, you know, talking about the popularity and the superstardom, you know, Michael Jordan was probably one of the first athletes that I would claim to be a superstar. And the reason why I say that is because sports in itself has changed so much since the 80s. I can remember Dale Murphy being the big guy for the Braves. And, you know, Dale Murphy probably would have had to hit seventh or eighth in a lineup of the Braves in the later years of the 90s, when you had Chipper Jones and you had Javi Lopez and you had all these big-name stars that were on the Braves. Dale Murphy was a 20-home run hitter, 80 RBI guy that batted .285. Now, you look at Chipper Jones's career, and, you know, the guy hit 307 for an entire career. Most of the time he was within the 320 range, always a pop hitter. So, you know, as sports progresses throughout the decades and throughout each period, it seems the athletes get bigger and superstars get even bigger. And it really, what I'm going at with this is the popularity of Davey Allison and Alan Kowicki. And I think that this generation is so underscrewed on the impact that Davey and Alan had on this sport, in the sport of racing, in the early 90s. It was really then and just then that superstardom sports stars were becoming a real deal. Of course, that was the era of Michael Jordan and Bo Jackson and Wayne Gretzky and several other, you know, very, very exclusive big-name stars that were, you know, branded on your television and you knew who they were. Of course, you know, we've had that in racing as well. Richard Petty, Cale Yarbrough, David Pearson, Darrell Walter, Dale Earnhardt. But guys, you know, in this day and age, you could count maybe 5 to 10 drivers in the past decades that were supposed superstars. And then you look at today's lineup, and you've got Matt Kenseth and Dale Earnhardt Jr. I mean, you know, let's hold off on Dale Earnhardt Jr. Let's go Jimmy Johnson and well, Jeff Gordon's retired now, but Kevin Harvick, Tony Stewart, you know, has retired. But, you know, just last year we would have had his name on the list. Denny Hamlin, you know, the list can go on and on. We have very superstardom sports stars in the sport right now. In the time of Davey Allison and Alan Kowicki, guys, it really, the sport industry was just then kind of taken off to what it is today. And you can't really say what Davey would have had or what Alan could have done because, unfortunately, their lives were taken way too soon, way too soon. And we never got to see the true amount. You know, Jeff Gordon was mesmerizing, but if you'd have had Alan Kowicki and Davey Allison in the same field with Jeff Gordon, would Jeff Gordon sit there with four championships? These are questions that are no doubt unanswerable. But it goes back to the superstardom that we see in these guys now and the way they were branded. This generation doesn't understand the impact that Davey and Alan both had on the sport at the time where they were the most popular. Alan Kowicki, unfortunately, passed away several months after winning his very first NASCAR championship. It took him 8 years almost to get to the point to where he had a fully funded team, was on, you know, they were on their way. They were the underdog going into the 92 season. Of course, you had Bill Elliott and Davey Allison and Alan Kowicki all within points range of winning the championship there at Atlanta. Bill ran into problems, and unfortunately, Davey Allison was wrecked by Swervin' Irvin, Ernie Irvin, who later took over the 28 Ford. I think that was kind of ironic there that they went after the guy that, you know, basically ruined Davey Allison's 92 championship. And then in unfortunate circumstances in July of 93, Davey was lost in a helicopter crash at Talladega. I'm not going to so much as bring up some other stars that were are influential people that have been put into the Hall of Fame. I did listen to a NASCAR radio on XM a couple of days ago and heard a certain name that was brought up that probably wasn't the best analogy to use. So I'll go to Mark Martin. If Mark Martin can qualify for the Hall of Fame and not Davey Allison, I understand Mark Martin had a storied career, but he wasn't a champion. You know, I believe that Davey proved enough in his very short time that he was very capable of being a, you know, a future star in this. I mean, he was already a star, but a superstar of the sport, and it would have carried the sport on into the early 2000s or even later than that, and continued to win and be an influential piece to the success of NASCAR. Unfortunately, a lot of people say that NASCAR lost a lot of steam when Dale Earnhardt left. Jeff Gordon, I don't believe at the time, was as influential as Dale had been. And I'm not sure if Jeff Gordon was ready to carry that torch at the time. It is very ironic that Jimmy Johnson comes into the sport and Jeff Gordon never wins another championship. So there's several things that could have off course, Jeff Gordon's storied career. Definitely do I believe that Jeff Gordon would be in the Hall of Fame, of course, but he would be sharing that bench with a lot of other great drivers that were there through the 90s, including Alan Kowicki and Davey Allison. Of course, Bill Elliott, you know, he had a great run there in the 90s as well, running with the Junior Johnson teams and whatnot. But, you know, I believe, in my perspective of things, Davey Allison and Alan Kowicki both deserve to be in the Hall of Fame. I'll kick it over to maybe Mike Perricone or CJ Sports. What do you guys have a take on that? What's your take?
Mike's having issues getting in here tonight. I don't know, having difficulties. But, you know, the things that kind of stick out, it does seem that NASCAR kind of lost its momentum when Earnhardt, the passing of Earnhardt, and it shows you how much of an icon Dale Sr. really was to the sport. You know, he's pretty much been the LeBron, the Michael Jordan of the NBA. And so it is amazing that, you know, NASCAR is now finally getting to a point where they've kind of recovered. Well, I'm not going to say recovered, but are starting to recover from the loss from, 16 years ago at this point, I believe 2001. It's crazy to know that, or whatever year, I think, whatever year he passed. Gordon, I don't think anybody's ever visualized Gordon in the same level. Yes, he won those four championships and won a lot of races. But what I mean is, when you saw Dale Sr., you saw the Intimidator. You saw someone that was going to dump you if you didn't get out of his way. Nobody visualized Gordon that way, and nobody was terrified of Gordon. If you got out of the car, you were going to be scared of Senior coming over and actually want to throw down. You just had that same fear with Gordon, because Gordon was that guy, that type of guy that you look like you can just put your hand on his forehead, and he just swing all you want, but he's not going to reach you. And it's not his fault that he was such a small guy, or is such a small guy, but there was just really no intimidation with Gordon.
Right. And Gordon was kind of thrown into the fire with superstardom, because as I go back to the mid-90s was really the beginning of the explosion. Remember, in 96 we had the Sammy Sosa and Mark McGuire battle, you know, so was kind of the real leap into superstardom. Michael Jordan comes back from retirement, takes the Bulls back to three straight championships. You know, that was the beginning of the true superstardom that we have now. And if you go back in past memory before Jeff Gordon, of course, it was Davey Allison and Alan Kowicki and Ricky Rudd. You had a whole generation class with the deaths of Alan Kowicki and Davey Allison taken straight off the map. So Jeff Gordon was practically thrown into the fire of superstardom based off of – and please, guys, don't get me wrong. I mean, Jeff Gordon has earned his right. What I'm making a case here about is Davey Allison and Alan Kowicki were the superstars of that generation to carry forth through the 90s. In 1992 – Richard Petty retires. In 1993, Jeff Gordon comes out for his very first season. Am I right? That's right, right? 93 was Gordon's very first season.
Was it 93?
Or was it the end of 93 that Richard? It was the end of 93 that Richard retired. Either way, the fact of it is in 93, the sport lost two very influential. One had already proven himself as a champion. There was a void left there. And I remember watching Bill Elliott. Bill Elliott was in his prime with Junior Johnson at the time. A year and a half later, after the, you know, most awesome 92 season that I believe NASCAR ever had, Bill Elliott decided to create his own team, similar to Ricky Rudd, and lost a lot of steam in his career. I mean, Bill Elliott was the man on the scene, and as soon as he left Junior Johnson and had the struggles of creating his own race team, it was definitely not the same awesome Bill from Dawsonville. It was, when you look at that time and see the struggles of Darrell Walter of owning his own team and Ricky Rudd owning his own team and of course, Bill Elliott, you wonder if some of the steam got taken out of them with just them trying to control too much. It's very awesome what Dale Jr. is able to do. Jr. does run a lot of activities through Junior Motorsports, but Kelly's kind of the head honcho there. She's the one that wheels and deals and makes the final decisions on things. And let me give you an update, guys. Cleveland is now 2 points back of the Indiana Pacers.
Oh, yeah.
So you want to see a true champion. Tonight is LeBron James' Dale Earnhardt at Bristol, being three laps down and coming back. These are the moments that we live for in sports. And we're seeing, somebody who has elevated themselves into superstardom, which is, once again, the topic of the subject here tonight. Davey Allison Alan Kulwicki were superstars of their time. When we go back and think about One Hot Night, who was the main character in that race? Well, it was the Mellie Yellow Car, and it was Davey Allison. When you go down to the final race of the year in 92, who were we watching? We were watching Bill Elliott, Alan Kulwicki, and Davey Allison. From 87 on forward, Robert Yates Racing and Davey Allison were on the map. Alan Kulwicki, he forged himself into the conversation. We're talking about a man who was well before his time, had basically funded his own way into Cup racing by just being a smart man and understanding an engineering job that at the time was unheard of. You know, back in this time, you know, it was the day and age of Smokey Unick and Junior Johnson. Innovation was there, but not necessarily educated engineers. Alan Kulwicki definitely brought something different to the table. Ray Evernham was Alan Kulwicki's crew chief the 92 season that he won his championship. And, you know, a lot of people want to give the credit to Ray Evernham, but I promise you, Ray was not as big of a part of that championship year as it was Alan Kulwicki. I've heard stories. I think Steve Billmeyer told us one story, as a matter of fact, one time, that Alan would ask his crew to get off at a certain time, you know, 6 or 7 o'clock, and then for the rest of the night, Alan would lock himself up in his garage and tinker on the car. What he tinkered on, we'll never know, because that was between Alan and his team. It's such a great thing to see Hooters back in the sport. I do want to give a shout-out to Hooters. They're now sponsoring Chase Elliott. It's weird how the world goes around. Of course, Bill Elliott is the father of Chase Elliott. And go back to that 92 season. A lot changed after that year. And you know, the loss of two superstars at the time really impacted the sport. Now, you know, we use Jeff Gordon as the kid thrown in the fire. Let me tell you something, guys. It was not a better future superstar to throw in the fire than Jeff Gordon. As a matter of fact, Jeff Gordon and Dale Earnhardt kind of carried the torch through the mid-90s. Terry Labonte, I remember, won a championship, I believe in 96, but you know, it was a controversy because he only had one win the whole year. It was, you know, in that age of NASCAR, it was about consistency at every week, and a top three was if you were championship racing, a top three was what you needed, and sometimes you wouldn't challenge that second or first place car for a win, especially if you were going to have to go deep into the season in a close championship. Mark Martin, of course, was bridesmaid for so many years, and you know, what an epic dump by LeBron James just to take the lead. Fourth period, 6:20 to go. Cleveland Cavaliers have just come back.
25 points
amazing.
Down.
This is why we watch sports. This is
Mike's
what it's all
studio.
About. I promise you, this is epic. I watched a great game last night with two supposed superstars, and that's Westbrook and Harding. And I think that if they're not going to give the MVP, Mr. CJ Sports, to LeBron James, and you know how I feel about LeBron, and I mean he's the epic of all ball players. I just don't like the titty baby. But I understand that LeBron has a little bit more voice in NBA right now than any other player has, and that, once again, is based off the superstardom factor. These days, organizations throughout the sports world are run now by the athletes and not really by the owners. If you want to look at organizations that are run by owners, you're going to wind up with the Cleveland Browns. My bad, y'all. but we'll bring the topic back to racing. This weekend, of course, is going to be Bristol. This is where, you know, things are going to get interesting. I think Ricky Stenhouse may need to watch his bumper this weekend. It's going to be some bump and run. Looks like they're getting the track ready. It's really cool, this concept that NASCAR's figured out on running the tires up through the grooves. They're actually laying rubber down on the tracks on tracks like Bristol. They have a truck and about 9 or 10 Hoosier tires hooked to the back of it, and they're running the track using those tires on the back. I promise you, CJ Sports, this is one of the most epic games I've ever sat here and watched in NBA sports history. This year has been the year of the comeback. We may be coming up for a very special year in racing because since the beginning of the year, we've watched Alabama and Clemson. We watched Clemson come back. We watched the Patriots come back on the Falcons. The NBA, the...
Yes?
Yes, sir, Mr. Perricone.
I had some trouble getting in tonight.
It's okay, man. Glad to have you aboard here. We're just talking about superstardom in racing. And my main topic tonight, Mr. Perricone, is I want to be one of these that are jumping on the bandwagon to make sure that Davey Allison and Alan Kowicki are recognized in this year's Hall of Fame. I think that it's very important that we recognize both of those superstars of their time in the sport, even though they didn't actually receive all the credentials, so to speak, that you would expect from a Hall of Famer. I'd like to have your take on that. Mike must still be having trouble there, guys.
He bumped off.
Yeah, unfortunate there for Mike. But, I guess to argue the case, you would have to sit here and do a lot of hypothetical and kind of look through. But in definition of Hall of Fame, if we could define the Hall of Fame, how would you necessarily define the Hall of Fame, Mr. CJ Sports, since we're in commercial?
Well, not all of us are commercial. I told you about the delay. Yeah, Mike's back in.
you're in a little bit of delay there, aren't you? So,
yeah.
There must be a tower or something going crazy in our neighborhood because I couldn't get in for a while.
Are you living in an Amish neighborhood, Mike?
I don't know. I don't know what kind of neighborhood this is, to be honest with you. But anyway, I think it's sustained greatness would be the Hall of Fame, definitely, over a sustained period, an extended period. And I think the two people you mentioned would qualify, Kowicki and Allison. And not just because they died, and not just because they passed away in racing accidents, racing wrecks or whatever you want to call it.
So what you're saying, Mike, is you believe that the Hall of Fame should be based off of credentials and really nothing else. I mean, if they didn't sustain the stats, then you believe that they shouldn't be there.
You could talk about even on whatever level. I have experience with modified. That's modified. Everybody knows Rich Rivers, okay? Rich Carr is in the Hall of Fame, and so is he. So, that kind of thing, that guy was, dominant for years. Used to come on, up and down the East Coast, Long Island, and dominate. So, things like that, that you say the name, and people, no matter where in the country, they know the driver, and they generally know his record, just from, maybe they don't have it on the tip of their tongue, but they know he was a dominant driver, and that to me,
Famous. And I dig your point. I really do, Mike. And I really, but I don't believe that this is the way that NASCAR has played it out so far. Richie Evans didn't have a Hall of Fame Cup career. He definitely had a Hall of Fame, and I know that that name's probably going to strike an edge with you. I'm a fan of Richie Evans, but he didn't have a Hall of Fame NASCAR Cup career, but yet he's still recognized in the NASCAR Hall of Fame.
I didn't say Cup. I said any level. Okay.
The success that Davey and Alan both had throughout their racing career should really match up to what the argument is. And my question to I would like your thoughts to NASCAR is, what are the qualifications? Mark Martin didn't win a championship. He had a storied career. He was the bridesmaid probably more than any other non-champion in the sport. I have no problem with Mark Martin being in the Hall of Fame.
We were discussing this with CJ on CJ's show on Monday to Wednesday, and it's unfortunate maybe, but I agree with Mark Martin too because I was a fan of his. But you're right about the championships, and then at the same time, if the stick and ball sports go by the amount of championships won and all that, that's the measuring stick. Then either NASCAR.
I can see that being the measuring stick now. I really can. And I don't mean to cut you off, Mike. You know how I get excited. And I'm going to try to tone it down a little bit. But the measuring stick of now is not going to be the same measuring stick that we measured from before they were superstars.
Right.
My question to you real quick. Do you believe with Dale Earnhardt Jr.'s career, does he belong in the Hall of Fame?
I think there'd be a lot of upset people if he wasn't, okay?
Can I shine in on this one?
Yes, please. I would love to hear your because I'm going against my guy right now. You're gonna be blasted by what I believe, so go ahead.
Statistically, no, he has no business being in the Hall of Fame. But what Junior has meant to the sport and how he has helped carry this sport when the ratings have been down and is not filled his father's shoe but has helped bring fans to the sport. If not for Junior, this sport numbers would be so low that I don't know if they ever would recover. And because of that, yes, I feel that he'll get in the Hall of Fame.
Which brings me right back to my point with Davey Allison and Alan Kowicki. They were the legion of this sport. They were the ones that were going to keep Dale Earnhardt from winning. They were the ones that were not going to be intimidated by that number three, and they would have continued to compete on a high level and on a competitive level with the Intimidator had we not lost them so early. The impact that they had in the small amount of time that they were here was amazing. We all remember the 88 Daytona 500 where it was Bobby Allison and Davey Allison. We know that we all have a certain feeling that maybe Davey didn't want to pass Bobby. Maybe Bobby should have let Davey pass. Or we all have our conspiracy theories on that race. But from that race on forward, Davey held this sport in a contrast to what Dale Earnhardt was doing. Davey was the good kid. He was the straight jacket. He was the clean cut. Dale was, the rough and tough. But the relationship that Davey and Dale had, Jeff Gordon could only try to have that kind of relationship with Dale. Dale and Davey knew how to compete with each other. They knew how to respect each other. A lot of times in those races, you didn't see much of Davey racing Dale. It seemed to be a lot of times that they gave each other plenty of room to race. There wasn't much competing for the win between those two. It just seems to be that throughout that time, either Davey won or Dale was going to win. And I would say this, Dale won and was the stronger contender at the time, but Davey was just then priming himself. You think about it. Davey started full-time in 88, had raced semi-pro for about 3 years. I think his first race was 85 when he was filling in. for another Alabama gang driver, the one that was killed. Oh, my goodness, this is not happening to me right now. Neil Bonnet, thank you. He filled in for Neil Bonnet in a Junior Johnson car, as a matter of fact, in the number 12 Budweiser. If you go back and look at Jay Ski, you'll see that picture there of Davey Allison in the number 12 Budweiser car. It was his debut at Talladega. From 88 on forward, Davey and Dale were the show. You know, Dale Jarrett come in 93 and really had a hot year. Dale Jarrett had fought for a win against Davey Allison and that Wood Brothers number 21 car, but Dale had not shined just yet. Dale Jarrett was still a couple of years away from really starting to stand out, including the season that the 93 season. Of course, Dale Jarrett won the Daytona 500. And so that was just then brewing there. What I'm trying to say, guys, is the influence that Dale has on the sport now, Dale Jr. has on the sport, is definitely similar and was a ratings carrier. When Davey came into the sport, he was the child, the son of the Alabama gang. He was the baby. Him and Clifford were destined to be superstars because they come from the right shoelaces. Bobby Allison, of course, had a major impact on the sport. The argument is there, but if NASCAR is going to allow the Mark Martins and the Richie Evans and maybe even future Dale Earnhardt Jr., because statistically, just like you said, CJ Sports, I think statistically Dale Jr. doesn't belong in the Hall of Fame, and I'm his biggest fan. In baseball, they're excluding a guy who gambled on the sport, and they're excluding PED users, but they're only excluding the PED users, the ones that got caught. We all know baseball made a drastic change in the middle 90s as we peaked in this superstardom atmosphere. Remember, guys, in 1993, cable television was not what it is today. I believe in 93 you had a satellite for your country television, and at that time Primestar only had 9 channels. And if you had the old-style satellite, then you had to find some code GW40 and hope to goodness that your codes were going to come with a sound card so that you could also listen to what you were watching. This is the age of technology. This is the age of superstardom. And for those who weren't race fans in that generation, they really don't understand the impact that these two drivers had on the sport. Kyle Petty would never belong in the Hall of Fame, but, I mean, if you're going to throw these guys in the Hall of Fame, then why not throw Kyle Petty too? that's also contradicting my argument, that Davey and Allen deserve to be there. I think that the way that NASCAR has gone, they've opened the door for this argument, and being that we could only speculate the types of careers that Allen and Davey have, we're forgetting also that Allen Kwicki is a champion, and maybe that one championship qualifies Allen, but doesn't necessarily qualify Davey. Davey was a Daytona 500 champion, which I would have to say that Allen wasn't, so I guess you kind of have two ends of the spectrum there. Now, if we're going to allow them to be crowned a Hall of Fame for Daytona 500 championships, then, of course, that opens the door for Dale Jr. But what I'm asking is, what are the guidelines, and what is it that exactly NASCAR is looking for to make a driver a Hall of Fame? We had a similar battle here in Mississippi. I'll bring it back to a local level and the racing level. We had a Mississippi Motorsports Hall of Fame that was inside the Mississippi Sports Hall of Fame. Well, about 10 years ago, they called the people who owned some of the museum cars and told them to come pick their stuff up, that they no longer had a place to house them. So they basically discontinued their Motorsports Hall of Fame. Well, as I've been active in the sport here in the state of Mississippi, I've contacted the Mississippi Sports Hall of Fame to ask them the guidelines on what it takes to have an athlete recognized for, admittance into the Hall of Fame, because we've had several drivers that, you know, have not been instituted into the Motorsports Hall of Fame from the state of Mississippi, including Lake Speed. And I think that those guys deserve the – they're definitely qualified, and they deserve the recognition. If we're going to sit here and recognize softball players and swimmers and baseball players and basketball players in the Mississippi Sports Hall of Fame, then I definitely believe that racing should be, you know, recognized as a qualified institute for the Hall of Fame. The problem to it is I can't get an answer, neither can anybody else, on what are the qualifications to have somebody admitted in or presented into the Hall of Fame. And that kind of leaves that debate open for where we stand. If there's anybody listening and they have an argument to this, I would love to hear. We have open line, 718-664-9861. We're supposed to have Shannon Boland on here tonight. Invited him twice on the show. He's hung me out to dry twice, so I probably won't be bringing him on the show anytime soon. But, guys, if you're a journalist and you want maybe a couple of minutes to come on and talk about racing, we'd love to give you that opportunity during our Race Talk open line shows. Of course, guys, with Racing with Big Sweat, we've throughout the years carried shows that have interviews from racers across the nation, but we also have Race Talk shows as well. Sometimes we have guys that don't fulfill their obligation, or, you know, some guys are just scared to say no, and we understand that here at the 110 Nation. Some guys think it's a good idea, and then they get kind of cold feet, and you know how that goes. Social anxiety kicks in, and they don't want to be heard. They can write some pretty good stuff, or they can talk big on Facebook. Not talking about anybody in particular, but then when you try to get them on the radio show, they kind of clam up. So, but we understand that not everybody is ugly enough to be on the radio. I fortunately am, and I know that my partner CJ Sports is. How about you, Mike? I have one of those radio faces. I don't know about y'all.
But anyway, no. What I just want to clarify what I had said. You asked me, did I believe that Dale Earnhardt qualified. All I said to you before you cut me off, or not cut me off, but before you responded, was I said that a lot of people would be upset. I didn't say that I believe Dale Jr. belonged in the Hall of Fame. If he got in based on a name, then yes. Same thing with Kyle Petty. I don't necessarily think that just because Richard Petty was in there, that Kyle Petty should follow him, okay? That's what I'm saying.
What is your stance on Dale Jr.? If you had a vote to put Dale Jr. in the Hall of Fame when he retires, would you vote yes or would you vote no?
I'll talk to me when he retires, but as of now, no. What is
no.
You can't put him up against his dad. And how many races has he won? You know, that 1 year he won the Daytona 500. But any time, you know, I remember when he had the 8.
Right.
Budweiser, and he won the, I forget what year that was, but he won the Daytona 500. And Dale Senior was in victory lane with him. I forget which year that was. But
right.
He doesn't have anywhere near 7 championships. And the only reason I'm saying to you is a lot of people would be upset is you know how many Dale Jr. fans there are, and they would revolt, okay? They would revolt. Right now, and I've said it on CJ's show, and not so much on my own show because I don't deal with the Cup guys on my own show, but we talk about it all the time. There's nothing that Dale Jr. can do to anger people, fans. So if you kicked him out, there'd be more fans upset than would be pleased. Okay? That's all I'm saying. There'd be fans upset.
If Dale Jr. was to retire today, as anti Dale Jr. as I am, if I had a vote in it, and he retired today, I'm sorry, I would have to vote him in because what he has meant to the sport. At this point, when it comes to certain players or certain athletes, to me it has nothing to do with the stats, but how they influenced the game, what they meant to their sport. And behind Dale Sr. in the last, 20, 25 years, Dale Jr. is the next biggest thing and the next thing that carried this sport. And as much as I am anti-Jr. and call him Dale Dip, you know what, I would have to vote him in.
And I would like to bring forth the stats of these drivers real quick, guys. Davey Allison had 18 wins, and Dale Jr. has 24 wins. Davey Allison raced 7 years, 6 years full-time. So the stats that Davey put together in that very short time compares to Dale Jr.'s stats that he's done over a 20-year career. Which once again leads back to the fact that it is the exposure at the time is not what the exposure is today. So I believe wholeheartedly that these two drivers were influential enough to have carried the sport at the time, which backs the theory of why they should be in the Hall of Fame. If we're going to put Dale Jr. in the Hall of Fame, we should definitely consider Davey.
Then that's the confusion, okay? Then you started out talking about the record amassed by the Allisons and Kowicki, okay? Kowicki being a champion. So that puts him over the Allisons already, okay? So then that's one criteria. Then CJ brings up the influence of, Dale Jr., which you can't argue with either. Because he's been the most
popular driver for how many years straight?
17 years. So, but that's a whole other thing. So you're talking about two different criteria.
No.
I
think that's where I believe I hit on this already, Mike. That's where the sport has left us. The subject of the show is superstardom and the day and the age of when Alan Kowicki and Davey Allison were in this sport. Superstardom is not what it is today. If these two drivers were driving in this day and age, they would have been a leader of – there would be no question that their time was influential enough to give them a Hall of Fame induction.
Okay, but I'm going to bring up something else that we always bring up when we're talking about sports in general, stick and ball sports. It's unfair to compare eras. What about that? Okay, if you're comparing two drivers from the same, two or three drivers from the same era, like the Allison and Kowicki, then that's one thing. But you can't put Dale Jr. in that same argument. Because he's another owner, okay? That's all I'm saying is they're blurring the different, in the discussion, they're blurring the different criteria. And that goes back to what your original question was. What is NASCAR's criteria for the Hall of Fame? You have to have one set of rules. What is Hall of Fame worthy and what isn't? You go by reputation. Do you go by influence or do you go by record? That's all I'm saying. Is we're taking two and three different criteria and trying to put them together. Now, CJ makes a good point. I make a good point, I think. And you make a good point. But it's all the three different criteria we're talking about. There has to be something on paper that shows us what is worth. What is Hall of Fame worthy? Just like any sport, when a sports writer goes to vote on the Baseball Hall of Fame, they know in their own mind there's a certain amount of criteria, and then they make their own mind up. Is this player player A? Is player B? And there's going to be sports writers that are pro certain guys and anti certain guys. Because that's the unfair part of it. a lot of it's going to be because of their personal experience with the individual. I'm not saying that's the same with racing. I'm just saying
And I believe that that's what the argument is about. Where is the influence that gives – where is that thin line where influence overtakes the stats? Because by influence, both of those drivers were top of the game in their era. Had Kyle Busch broke his legs and never got back in a race car, would he be a subject for Hall of Fame? He doesn't have any championships. There's just too many questions on what actually leads to a Hall of Fame induction. With those doors open and no criteria actually being set, is Davey and Allen going to be the year where they say, oh, well, you just really didn't have what we're looking for? I've never seen NASCAR kind of leave a door open like that. I think that over honor and respect, it'll go above, and we will see Allen and Davey inducted into the Hall of Fame, because I believe that the sports writers of that time are still in the sport and they're still influential, and this is something that I guess as we start kind of closing the doors on the Hall of Fame, the Hall of Fame was just created, 5, 6, 7 years ago. They've inducted a lot of people into the Hall of Fame quickly. As time goes on with the Hall of Fame, as new as it is, once the hall starts getting kind of full, the criteria will evolve into something more than what it is now. So I believe, and I'll leave this to question as well, I believe that this could be the closing of the door with what actually will get you into the Hall of Fame. Really, between the only three questions we have in the next 20 years of right now of who would deserve to be in the Hall of Fame and who wouldn't is Davey Allison, Alan Kulwicki, and Dale Jr. Is NASCAR going to give those three drivers the pass as that door closes and it becomes more of a battle? Because does Ryan Newman deserve to be in the Hall of Fame when he retires? Does Matt Kenseth deserve to be in the Hall of Fame when he retires? I would definitely argue that Matt Kenseth does, but definitely not Ryan Newman. Denny Hamlin, no championships, a lot of wins, great career. Is the championship evolution going to start after these guys are inducted? Because, to be honest with you, when we can name 12, 13, 14 influential stars and the main product of what we're watching every weekend, those guys, I guess, I would say half of them, really are not going to be Hall of Fame criteria based off of what most sports have as a criteria. In other words, it would be hard for a pitcher to come in 3 years in baseball now and be inducted into the Hall of Fame unless he just gave all of it, unless it's Tim Tebow.
You're not going to touch on him tonight, eh? But anyway.
I got to give Tim Tebow some airtime. I love that guy, man. Everybody gives him a hard time, eh?
If you guys don't know, I'm a Mets fan. That's why I'm joking about that. But anyway. Excuse me.
Mr. CJ Sports, did the Cavs win?
Yes, we won by 5 points, down by 25. We were down 74-49 at the half to come back to win 119-114. LeBron had his 17th triple double with at least 39 points, 12-12. I don't think he had any more points on top of that. I don't know. I didn't see the final stat.
You know, CJ, this goes back to where do these sports writers stand? What are the criteria of things? Is the media trying to make us believe that Harding and Westbrook deserve the MVP and not LeBron? Who is the most influential player in NBA basketball right now?
Oh, LeBron, no doubt. They do that point differential when he's on the court and off the court, and LeBron's like plus 26. He is by far the most important player in all of NBA right now. They just feel that they can't give LeBron the trophy every year because their people would get tired of it. But there's no doubt that LeBron James is the true MVP of the NBA.
So, see, there is definitely room for argument, the same kind of argument that we've had tonight. For almost every award or proclamation given out in sports, my argument will stand that I believe Davey and Allen should be inducted into the Hall of Fame. They had very influential careers. Davey and Allen Kawicki deserve to be in the Hall of Fame. They had very influential careers. They helped mold the sport into the future superstardom that it is today. They helped carry the sport for their time. Unfortunately, their careers ended shortly, but with the Hall of Fame not being around for as long as what most Hall of Fames have been, I think that, like I said, the door will eventually close. You won't have any more people who are, you know, Wendell Scott got put in for a reason. Like you said, he was influential for the sport. Now, does that mean Danica Patrick gets put in? I don't think so.
No.
No, it doesn't leave that open because it was a different time. And a different age. Danica has
not,
been great for the
she's
sport,
not,
but she's...
She's not carried the sport, though. Junior carried the sport for many years. Love him or hate him, and I do not like him. He has carried the sport. There's a reason why he's been the most popular driver for like 6,000 years. It's because he has carried the sport. Fine. Mike, what was you trying to say, Mike?
Chris, what I'm saying too is there might be something like with baseball and with the stick and ball sports where all the people you mentioned, all three get in, but Allen may go in first because of the championship, okay? And they might not put the other Gallisons in right away, but that doesn't mean they won't get in at all, okay?
Right.
I was going to ask you, is there any limit, like, with, you know, how many times you can be voted on? Is this the end of the Allison's chances? Or, you know, because sometimes they do that with the Hall of Fame, too, where you're on the ballot for so many years and then you're not on the ballot anymore. But
yeah, I do believe that they have 5 years. It's kind of similar to baseball. They have 5 years to be on the ballot. But I think that NASCAR is only selecting five at a time. So basically every year the list is going to get bigger because they're introducing five new ones. And I think, you know, just about every year they've inducted almost every single person that's been brought forth. So I'll have to check the stats on that.
Right. Well, I'm just saying – they might do something like that and differentiate the championship by putting Allen in first and then maybe making the Allisons wait another year or two. That's all I'm saying. That
right, and I think that may be actually you may be onto something there, Mike. That really that sounds reasonable.
So that's the differentiation of the championship is my point.
Right.
They have to do something to set apart that this guy won a championship as opposed to the other two. That's all I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. And you know, I believe that should, at this point in time, you know, are we going to see, you know, a June Dunleavy added to the Hall of Fame ballot? As a matter of fact, what I think you're saying, Mike, is as the years are moving forward, this Hall of Fame debate is actually going to kind of heat up here because – there's going to be some guys who are just not going to make the grade. There's going to be some guys who are overlooked. And, you know, like you said, this could be the end of the Allison reign. And that would be tough for a lot of fans here in the Alabama-Mississippi area. It really would be.
It reminds me, in a way, okay, in a different way, of a multiple choice test when you were in school. There were four choices, A, B, C, and D. And you could throw out one as totally making no sense. So that left you with three. And then maybe your choices then go down to two, and you have to choose between two. And that's what I see it as. maybe there's going to be somebody that's nominated that just doesn't make sense, and every sports writer or whoever votes on it will be able to throw the name out and say, no way, okay? But there isn't going to be a lot of names, if they're Hall of Fame worthy, that people are going to say absolutely not, okay? So you're going to have a choice of maybe 3 to 4 every year, okay? And you might pull out 1 or 2 as making no sense whatsoever, and that'll be easy. But maybe then you'll have to make a choice of 3 instead of 5. You know what I'm saying?
Right, and in the future, the future classes, when you start getting Kurt Busch's and Kevin Harvick's after their retirement, will the championships mean as much? Because I'll be honest with you, Mike and CJ both, I don't believe Harvick had a Hall of Fame career until he become a champion. And to me, the moment he become a champion is the moment that he stepped himself into the elite category. But you kind of look at Kurt Busch's career, and yeah, he started off strong, but he hasn't ended it very well. Now, we're talking about this year's Daytona 500 champion. But he's had a heck of a career to have to, he's definitely had the racer's career from high to low, back to high again. And so the argument, if you were to have a Kevin Harvick and a Kurt Busch come down to being in the same year on the same ballot, and one had to go, we're leading ourselves into this day and age, and I'm not going to make a pick of either one of them right here because it's really irrelevant at this point in time, but those are the kind of choices that I believe the Hall of Fame, we're going to really have a debate on who is actually a Hall of Fame career.
And I'll say this, like CJ was saying about the Dale Earnhardt thing, okay? You look at, now, CJ can tell you, I'm not necessarily a Jimmy Johnson fan, okay? I'm not a Jimmy Johnson hater, but I'm not necessarily a Jimmy Johnson fan. But the fact that he won 8 championships in a row, okay, means something. In a row means something, okay? That's a case where that's almost lock cinch, okay?
Oh, yeah, hands down, first ballot, him and Chad Knauss both.
Right, because of the in a row. The in a row says something, okay? Now, there might be another guy, I don't know who, that will come along and have 7 other than Earnhardt, okay, senior, and you say, okay, they're tied with 7 or 8, whatever it is, I don't know. But I'm just saying that you have to wait till the end of their careers for that. But the mere fact right now that he did it 7 in a row, that means something, more than even just the 7, okay? Yeah, 7 is great, but he did 7 in a row, which is a lot, which is like
you said. Jimmy didn't actually do those consecutively because, of course, we've crowned Tony Stewart and Brad Keselowski in between the two, but you're thinking of a career from 2002. He didn't win his first championship until 2004, went on, a 4 or 5 year winning streak, and then has won every 3 years since, so.
Right, in the space of years. Maybe I wasn't clear on that. Yeah.
Right. And definitely, I mean, that's where we think that the Hall of Fame criteria is supposed to be. There's no questions asked. This is the same thing that's going on right now in the NFL with T.O. T.O. was the most influential wide receiver of his time. Keyshawn Johnson was the second most influential receiver of his time. T.O. deserves the Hall of Fame. They used his character against him to keep him out of the Hall of Fame this year. His character is only going to hurt him from now on because he's making a mockery of the Hall of Fame. But hands down, T.O., what Terrell Owens, team obliterator, as Skip Bayless would say, carried football, carried the team during a lot of his career. Wherever he went, they won, and that says something about a ball player.
I believe
Davey Allison had the same storied career. It was just cut short. And I don't want to see in this day and age where NASCAR is allowing certain people in the Hall of Fame that may not necessarily have had the stats to prove themselves. I do believe that one or the other definitely deserves to be a first-time ballot.
Right. And I'll say this. CJ and I talk about this too. I'm not saying right or wrong about T.O. or anything like that, but I'll say this. That's a case of where a player, their behavior plays against it. It shouldn't be. You should go by just what's on the field, but a lot of times the perception of a player is colored, no pun intended, by his behavior off the field. And that's where T.O. and people like what's the other guy from Cincinnati, Ocho Cinco, and all that BS off the field got them into hot water, and that's going to possibly hurt them, you know, rightly or wrongly, getting into the Hall of Fame. And that's where a player can look back and say, if he's honest, he's going to say, I guess I hurt myself by what I did off the field. Okay?
Which could be a future Kurt Busch situation in NASCAR. and we'll leave it at that, guys. I think that, Mike, you made some great, interesting points, and I probably agree with you on the fact that Alan Kulwicki having a championship may open the door for a write-in by him, and maybe not Davey. As hard as that is to accept, I do understand that that could be a possibility, and I respect CJ's own look on it as well, CJ Sports, and bringing up the Dale Jr. factor, because let me tell you something, you want to have a radio show shut down, just start talking bad about Dale Jr. I'm a Dale Jr. fan, always have and always will be. I believe, as CJ Sports does, Dale Jr. deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. He helped carry this sport. He was the most influential sports NASCAR driver of this era. And
again, when I said no, based on the record, because that's what we were talking about.
Right, and that's where, and that is the argument in sports right now, Mike. It's not that I'm trying to disagree with your opinion. It's not that I'm trying to belittle your opinion. As a matter of fact, I respect your opinion. What I'm bringing forth is the assumption that writers don't necessarily induct into the Hall of Fame based off of what the fan finds as reason. Because if that was the case, if stats really got you in, and stats by alone got you in, then we would have a T.O. in the Hall of Fame. We would have a Pete Rose in the Hall of Fame. We would have
Definitely.
Oh, I said Pete Rose. Oh, no doubt. And I'm all for Pete Rose being in the Hall of Fame. Junior Johnson, of course, he got to be in the Hall of Fame more as a car owner than he was a race car driver. Junior Johnson's race car career only lasted about 9 years. Now, he was a hot hand when he was there, but him and Ned Jarrett kind of left the sport earlier than expected. Carl Edwards, if he's truly retired, we'll be arguing about him later on down the road. The argument is there is not a true baseline on what gets you into the Hall of Fame. And as long as there is not a true baseline, then the fans need to speak up on who they believe should be in the Hall of Fame until those guidelines are set. Right now, I feel like NASCAR has an open door policy, and they're relying more on the influence of certain people in the sport than they are so much on stats, because Mark Martin had a storied career, but he was not a champion. He didn't hold a championship. If you have a 20-year career in the NBA and Russell Westbrook never wins a championship, Russell Westbrook will be in the Hall of Fame. So we can't use championships as a criteria, obviously. And that's already been proven with the induction of Mark Martin. But as for influence of the sport, you're talking about the Alabama gang here, and you're talking about a young engineer who took his career from short track racing to the mainstream and became a championship winner in the most storied career, in the most storied year ever, the 1992 season. There was so much that happened in the 92 season that NASCAR is still fueling off of. Every All-Star event since 92 has had Rex in the promos because of what happened on One Hot Night. That was a Davey Allison moment. The 92 Daytona 500, that was a Davey Allison moment.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, if we're talking about influence, I still believe, and I will argue, as long as that door is open, if you are a fan of Davey Allison and Alan Kowicki, guys, you need to step up. If you're listening to this show and you're a fan of the two drivers I've just said, then you need to let NASCAR know that you believe those guys were influential enough to make it to the Hall of Fame. They've used this tactic with one or two other inductees. As long as that door is open, I hope that you race fans express your opinion to at least NASCAR so that these guys don't get put out of something that many people feel that they do deserve. It's been a great night. Racing with Big Sweat, I do want to let the table go around and let everybody get their closing remarks. My closing remarks is support your local dirt tracks or your local short tracks. Racing starts at your home track, and every race car driver that is racing professional sports right now started at a home track just like yours. So if you want to find the future star or the one who carries the torch to the next level, start at your local tracks. That's where they're at now. There is a future star, a future Hall of Fame driver that's just now getting his kicks up at your local short track. And hopefully you'll get there in time to watch him in his storied career. If that isn't a reason to get out there and buy you a ticket and buy a date night at your local track, I don't know what else to tell you. We've got to support the sport. We've got to show that racing is influential to a broad base community, and the only way to show your utmost support is by being in the bleachers, in the grandstands on Friday or Saturday night at your local track. I'll close on that. Mr. Mike Perricone, I'd like your closing remarks and your shout-out for your show tomorrow.
Okay. The one thing I'll say with Aries, I just thought of it because you brought up the name or in your comment just now, Junior Johnson. If off the field activities influenced them back then, how many of NASCAR guys wouldn't have made it because they were known for moonshining back then? Okay,
right.
Junior Johnson was a moonshine runner. So obviously, what they did off the track, you know, they consider that part of NASCAR history. Nowadays, if somebody, you know, got caught drinking and driving, I'm being slightly sarcastic here. Nowadays, it'd be a mark against them. You know?
Right.
You know? So that
right.
That goes to the things with errors. But anyway, that's I'll leave that there. But anyway, my show tomorrow night, Hot Laps with Stats. I hope the fans tune in. You have two good guests, the return guest, Jeffrey Rogers, the videographer from Riverhead Raceway, who works with Peter Milano at Pit Stop Pitbull. He's also told me that he would do a new intro for me this year for us and Hot Laps with Stats, CJ. He's going to make a new one this weekend. I'll send it to you on tape. So we'll have a new opening for in 2017. Also, we're going to have the Bakers, Darryl and John Baker from Baker Racing. They're modified 07. And also, Darryl is going to strap in this year and run the backup car as well. So they're going to have number 07 and number 87 this year. Darryl Baker, who was the dad and just the crew chief and the head honcho, I guess you'd say, at Baker Racing, is going to strap in to the backup car, and they're going to have a two-man operation, two-car operation as far as modified. We'll get into what they're going to do with the late models also. But that's tomorrow night, the Bakers from Baker Racing, John and Darryl, and Jeffrey Rogers. So, tune in.
I want to thank everybody for tuning in to Racing with Big Sweat right here on the 110 Nation Sports Radio Network. The comeback by the Cleveland Cavaliers, the greatest comeback in NBA history with 26 points. So I want to throw that out there. I got to thank the company I have my real job with. I got to thank Circle K. They're going to be sponsoring Matt Kenseth for like six races. So glad to see my company stepping up and help support the NASCAR. So I'm looking forward to seeing the Circle K, and hopefully that means we get some tickets somewhere. Come down our way. But shout out to Circle K and Matt Kenseth over there at Joe Gibbs Racing. I got to thank Fit for Life, Paige Stockdale of Hit Works, Mile High Radio, and I-95 Sports Network for rebroadcasting our shows. Great marketing partners, great marketing networks. Got to thank them. Had my opportunity to be in Fit for Life today. I'm head of security in my second job, so got it back in the gym today. So I was down there at Fit for Life, and then afterwards, after 8, I took some of my products from Hit Works. So I'm a living example of our sponsors, so I've got to thank them. Make sure you guys check us out on Twitter at 110 Nation. Check us out on Facebook, 110 Nation Sports. Also, check out our site, www.110nationsports.com, for all the latest. Chris, back to you.
All right, guys. Well, you know, I feel like the show was really good tonight, and I love the arguments. kind of gave the feel of a little Stephen A. Smith and some Max Carlson or whatever his name is. Debates are what they are. None of us are right. A lot of this is hypothetical. We don't know, and none of us are on the committee to vote for the Hall of Fame. We all had great points, and I feel that I respect all of you guys' opinion, and I thank y'all for being on the show for me to have somebody to talk back with. So it's always a pleasure to have you guys on, and I'd like to give y'all a special thanks for filling in on a short notice there. And guys, what a great game the Cleveland Cavaliers. Like I said, this has been the year of the comeback. Don't count anybody out. I've actually seen quite a few of my teams this year go to the opposite end and be the losers in it. So, you know, you've had the Cubs. It's definitely the year of the underdog. And what I mean by underdog is, you know, Cleveland definitely is not the underdog of the series, but when you're down 25 points, you know, most teams would just give up and live to see another day. That's a true champion right there, the ones that don't stop. And I think that's the argument of the night. There's some people born with it, and LeBron James is definitely one of those that's influential in the sport. I will argue it my last time, Alan Kowicki and Davey Allison, they had that same drive for the sport, the same mentality. They were going to make the sport better, and unfortunately, we lost them at a too young of a time to get the rest of the story of their career. But, guys, we want to thank y'all for listening tonight. Of course, if you have any opinions, make sure that you drop those in the comments down below on the link. We'll be glad to extend the show out to the social media side and carry this argument on. We'd love to know your ideas and what you think is the right way or the wrong way. 110 Nation is moving in the right direction. We've seen substantial growth over the last year or 2 years, I would say, and just a great establishment to be able to work here with Mr. CJ Sports and all that him and the rest of the staff are able to bring to the radio waves here. And I'm very thankful to have this show and be a part of such an awesome crew. And I got a lot of respect for everybody I work with. If you guys think that we were arguing with each other, I promise you, you'll find us again on the shows together agreeing with each other just as much as we disagree. Hey, this is what it's about. I think that sports journalism these days isn't so much journalism. It's more opinionated. I think it brings a different concept to entertainment, and it gives two sides of the story. Most of the time, neither one are either right or wrong. But, guys, thank y'all for listening in. Of course, we'll be back on again for next Thursday night, where I hope to have a couple of guests on to talk about their careers in the short track racing. We'll push for the open lines about once every 3 weeks. And, guys, I will be at Talladega in 2 weeks, so we won't be doing a show 2 weeks from today. I will be out on vacation enjoying the big track up at Talladega Super Speedway. I'm bringing along my family, and this is our family vacation. When I mean family, I mean extended family, my brother, my daddy, and my uncle, and my buddy, and a couple of other people will be there with us, along with my four kids and my beautiful wife. We're going to sit back in some lawn chairs and the free camping and live the RV life there for the weekend here in a couple of weeks. But next week we'll have a full show and ready to get it out there, guys. Make sure that you go and check out Tyler Sistrunk and his video tonight. I noticed there's quite a few guys that are kind of filling our time slot here, so we want to keep y'all plenty entertained and listening in weekly to Racing with Big Sweat as we see an outpour of radio shows popping up all over the place. 110 Nation has the best internet radio shows, period. We're not broadcasting on Facebook Live every single day, but let me tell you something, guys. Right now there's just really there's no sponsorship in the Facebook Live. It's not really a selling attraction to sponsors. In order to get people to buy into your products, you have to have direct contact through your internet sites and your place where you can really show your true analysis or analytics. And that's what I respect about CJ Sports. He really tends to keep things on Blog Talk Radio. I do want to give you a shout-out, Mr. CJ. I love your afternoon daily squirt or whatever it is that you call it there. It's always right on the money, and I like to hear every day. It kind of reminds me of what grinds my gears or off the Peter Griffin episode. So just keep up the hard work, CJ Sports, and thank y'all for being the flagship for this awesome radio show. Guys, y'all have a great Thursday night, and we'll be back again, like I said, next week. Same bat time, same bat hour. Go out and support your local short tracks, and we'll talk to y'all next week. That's our show there, guys. Thank y'all.